Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, good morning, church. Can I just say, you're looking very dapper this morning, Pastor Drew. Just saying. Love you guys. You can go ahead and take a seat. What a weekend it has already been. I am so excited for our East Campus launching today. It makes me really think of where we were 3 years ago. Did you know it was 3 years ago this weekend, 3 years ago that we launched our South Campus? And just look what God has done. It just reminds me how faithful our God is, how good our God is, and how God is bigger than we could ever dream. We can't ever outdream God. And I love that. You know, when Pastor Jürgen and Leanne came to San Diego, they had a dream of having one church in four locations. How incredible that today we stand on that dream being fulfilled in Jesus' name. But who knows, that dream isn't done. Now God's given a bigger dream to our pastor. One church in 16 locations in Jesus' name, four of which we believe are going to be birthed right here out of C3 South Campus. So I feel there's an anointing on today. There's something powerful that's going to happen. Freedom Sunday. I mean, what a month it's been. Remember I kind of termed it January, because it's jam-packed full of awesomeness. We had Shredder Sunday. We let go of some things that we need to let go of. Then we had Vision Sunday. Oh my goodness, I've loved hearing this week of people waking up to the dreams God put in their heart long ago and getting excited again for all that God is going to do, for people realizing their best days aren't behind them, but their best days are ahead. And then we have today, Freedom Sunday. How many people, this is their first Freedom Sunday? Okay, so a bunch of you. Can I just tell you, today is such an opportunity. It is such an opportunity. Every time we encounter God is an opportunity. Because it says, and we're going to talk about this today, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So what an opportunity we have today to walk out of here different than we came in. Has anyone done a cleanse before? Yeah, I haven't. So I've heard that cleanses are really good. It's like kind of like you get out all the junk so God can get in all, like you can get in all the good stuff. I kind of think that's what January is like. It's like we've just been on a cleanse. I know some of us have been fasting this week. So I feel personally so primed. Now that I've got the gunk out, God can actually begin to pour his blessing in. All right, so freedom. You know, I think freedom is one thing that every human wants. You know, despite age, despite demographic, despite race, despite gender, freedom is one of those things that every human wants. There is such a power in the word freedom. Freedom talks of the ability to be able to act, to be able to think any way that you choose, to not be restricted, to not be confined by what other people do and don't want you to do. There is power in freedom. You know, I think it's something that's innate in every human. And like, I just don't think this, I know this. Because, I'm going to talk about my son, Jack. Anyone that's heard me preach before, no, he makes for great preaching analogies. And freedom is no different. So he is 2 years old. And I've noticed in the last 2 years, he has been on a quest to be free of everything that I've ever put him in. For example, the onesies with the snaps. Oh, Lordy Lord. He is on a quest to get out of those onesies. Diapers, he's going through a phase now. Like, why stay restricted in diapers? Why not pull off that diaper and peel over the bed and have mum clean it up? Why not? But Jack's greatest nemesis in his quest for freedom has to be his car seat. All right, anyone that's driven in a car with my son will know this to be true. He spends most drives in like this aggressive wrestle with the straps on his car seat. Like, it is painful to watch. He's like, you know what? I'm going to get out of this. So he tries every which way he can to squeeze out. Thank the Lord, he has yet to figure it out and he still stays in his car seat. But he has tried it all. All the Houdini and MacGyver tricks that he can, he has tried. But he stays contained. My question to us this morning as we start is, so for Jack, his oppressor is a car seat. But for you and I, what is our oppressors today? As we come into Freedom Sunday, as we even begin this message, I wonder if you even know what it is in your life that you need to be free from. Like that analogy of my son, like getting exhausted with the strain and the you know, aggression, trying to get out of something. I wonder what that is for you. You know, I know for some people, you know, that's maybe an addiction when it comes to pornography. For some people, it's forgiving someone that you just so can't. For other people, it's to stop gossiping, to quiet your mouth when you know you should. Everybody needs freedom from something. You know, people can find themselves imprisoned to all sorts of things. Being bound by fear, by shame, by guilt. And here's the thing. When we're struggling and going through these things, these prisons, it actually gives an opportunity for the demonic to come on and attach to our vulnerability and our weakness. That's right, I said the D word, demonic, this morning. I know that for some people, you know, freedom is something, you know, that is maybe being preached in a way that seems weird and out there. But all we're talking about today is that we've got hurt and broken people that are struggling with things that they can't let go of in their own strength. And the devil, it says in the Bible, comes to kill and destroy. So he takes those moments, and sometimes there can be a spirit that comes in those moments of struggle that leaves us in a place where we are bound. And so we have a bunch of even believers that are exhausted, stuck, unable to get from the place that they are, they find themselves in. Did you know, though, when you and I were created, we were created with freedom in our DNA? Like, you know, like an iPhone, how you can, when you get an iPhone, you can change all the settings, but there's always a button you can press that will restore it back to its factory settings, the way that it was always originally designed. Do you know if that was existed for a human, if we restored our settings back to how it was meant to be, the setting would always be freedom. I love this scripture today, and this is good news this morning. John 10:10. It says that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, to keep people from a place of freedom. But wait for this. I love that there's always a but with God. But God came that we could have life and life in abundance. So that's why we're having Freedom Sunday, church, because we need to get rid of everything that stops us living in that abundant life that God has called us to live in. That's why I love being part of a church that makes space for this stuff. It would be so easy just to do nice messages that kind of massage your spiritual shoulders. But I love that we're a church that isn't afraid to go after the things that stops people living in the fullness of the life that God created for them. I love how the Message version describes this in Romans 8, verse 2, in the Message version. I love this. It says this, with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved, the dilemma of living under sin. Those who enter into Christ being here for us is no longer to have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. Everyone say, a new power. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. This is a good news message this morning. There is a new power that when we become Christians, we can operate under. The devil has come, you know, sin has come to give us death, but Jesus has come to give us life. And you know what? We're not just called to be alive. We're actually, as I said before, called to have an abundant life in Jesus' name. So in this message today, I want to kind of talk about like three things, three ploys that I see in myself and as a pastor talking with people that I see the devil use a lot to keep people under what they should be living over. Three car seat straps, so to speak, of where people, I see people struggling and straining. If I can be a bit transparent too, like, you know, I spend a lot of time in prayer for this city. I feel as a pastor that's my duty to, you know, I know the battle isn't against flesh and blood. I know that there is principalities, there's strongholds that are robbing from Eastlake, from Chula Vista, even from people in this church. And when I'm praying, these three things I'm going to talk about today is I feel is for a lot of people, their thing that they're struggling against. So today when I preach, I don't want to bring a whole bunch of information. I really just want to bring a call to action. Because you know what? If you know the monster you're facing, you're 99% of the way there to victory. So today I'm expectant and I'm excited and I've seen it already. I see at the end of this message, there's going to be people that are experiencing freedom that didn't even know that they were in a prison. So I'm telling you, if you let this could be a Sunday that changes things for you. This could be the Sunday where you don't know God in theory, but you actually know him through the experience of his freedom, resurrection power. All right, before we get started today, let's pray. God, I thank you that you are here. Lord, I thank you that your word says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God, I can feel it in the air, God. I can feel that you are here this morning with an agenda, Father, to unlock people that are locked in places they were never designed to be in, God. God, I thank you that even now as I pray, God, you're whispering to hearts, God. God, that you're setting expectation in the hearts of people, Father. God, I pray for a boldness to come upon every believer, Lord, that they would lift their heads up and face, Father, their Goliath, just like David did so long ago. Lord, that they wouldn't be overwhelmed by the Goliath in front of them, God, but they would understand, God, that when you are with us, who or what can be against us in Jesus' name. So, God, I thank you, Father. Lord, let me preach short, Lord, so we can minister long today, God. God, we give you all the glory and all the praise. And the church said, amen. I pray that I preach quick. See if it helps. We'll see. All right. My message today is entitled Flip, Stir, and Roll. Flip, Stir, and Roll. It kind of sounds like a hipster breakfast restaurant or maybe like a new workout activity. But what it actually is three things that I want to talk to today, three calls to action I think the Bible gives us, that God has given us, on how to get from a place of being bound, of being stuck in things we shouldn't, to a place of freedom. Listen, I only have 25 minutes today. I'm talking about a lot of things that are deep and real. In 25 minutes, I can really only begin to start the conversation. Can I encourage you? Like, as I'm talking, this might bring up a lot of questions, a lot of stuff. And I encourage you, go find a Connect Group leader. Come to one of our prayer meetings on a Thursday morning. Men meet at 5, women meet at 7. Come to Cherish Unplugged on Wednesday night. Come and actually get the answers you need to walk it out. Because today is the beginning of a conversation, but I'm so encouraged that you guys are actually going to see the fullness of your freedom walked out in the weeks to come. All right, so let's look at our first action word, flip. Everyone say flip. You know, I kind of want to make someone do a flip. Who can do a flip? Tony, can you do a flip? Come on though, with your hair, you're so aerodynamic now. Who would like to see Tony attempt to do a flip? I would like to do that. It's for Jesus, Tony. Try it, try it, try it. You're just denying me. It's true, you are the only one that can treat ourselves. Boo, Tony, boo. No, we love Tony. All right, flip. My point on flip is this. I want to talk about losing a religious spirit. Losing a religious spirit. You know, there's a lot of bondages we talk about in church. This is one that probably doesn't get talked about a lot. But I'm telling you, I'm passionate about talking about this because I'm telling you, as a pastor, I run into this all the time. People that are so bound with religious spirits, they actually can't experience the freedom of Jesus. Let's read in the Bible. Matthew 21, verse 12 to 14 says this. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned, and everyone say, or flipped, the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. Why they were selling doves, I don't know. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. I love this scripture so much. The reason why is because it takes the image that so many of us have as Jesus as this anemic, kind of soft, you know, kind of dude that was super white and pale and never did anything, and actually shows the realness of who Jesus was. Jesus was fierce. Jesus was strong. Jesus was passionate. Jesus was a leader. When Jesus spoke, action happened. That is the picture of who our Jesus is. And I love this because it says that Jesus went in there and he did what he was called to do. Jesus was never good at religion. I don't know if you realize that. When you read the Bible, I don't see a guy who was good at religion. What I did see was a guy who was good at relationship with his Father. He never got distracted being a Christian, that he forgot to doing the Christian things, that he actually remembered that he was the son of the King. He was the son of his Father. How many of us can say that? I know for me personally, and that's why I'll preach this point to myself. Sometimes I get so busy like doing the acts of a Christian, I actually forget that I am a Christian in the first place. So this scripture speaks to me. It is so easy to become bound by the ugly side of religion. I think that needs to be said. God never died on the cross so you and I could have a religion. God died on the cross so you and I could have relationships. This is what it looks like to be bound by a religious spirit. For some people, it means being plagued by the feeling of that I will never be enough. So even when you come into the presence of God, you get this feeling of I'm less than, I'm not worthy. That's a religious spirit. For other people, and I'm going to be transparent and say this is one I've had to wrestle to the ground several times, you actually get a little bit self-righteous. Where you find yourself judging other people when God has never asked you to judge other people but love them. So all of a sudden, rather than welcoming the person that is maybe a little bit different, that maybe is at the beginning of their journey of salvation, rather than opening your arms, you cross your arms towards them. That is what a spirit of religion will do to a Christian. Other bondages include legalism, perfectionism, guilt, shame, an unhealthy fear of God. We're all at risk of I think, being bound by religious spirits. I think it is particularly prevalent in people that have maybe grown up in more traditional church settings. I know for me, I went to a traditional high school. It was a very, it was like a Catholic kind of Orthodox high school. And I remember even sitting there and think, man, if this was my experience of who Jesus was, it wouldn't match up at all with what I actually experienced Jesus to be like. There was a lot of legalism. There was a lot of religion. There was a lot of laws being preached. But there was nothing that actually invited anyone to be in relationship. I think anyone that's kind of had that experience, maybe grown up in a house that's like that, you're probably maybe, you'll notice there's some residue of religious spirit that will, come against you at times. As I said at the beginning, I included this point today because I think for too long, this spirit has been robbing from abundant life from people, and it's gone unchallenged in the church. I really feel that this is an anointing on this house, on C3. If you hang around for 2 seconds, you realize we're a little bit unconventional. Religion isn't definitely, we're definitely not a religious church. And I love that. I think we're actually called to actually kind of set free some Christians that have been sitting bound in religion rather than flourishing in relationship with Jesus. Why religion and relationship never works together is because religion has no room for grace, but relationship requires solely on having grace. So you can never have religion and both relationship. So I wonder how many people I'm speaking to this morning that know that maybe you've reduced the image of Jesus dying on the cross to be a theological knowledge you have, rather than really receiving it as what it was always meant to be, which is the greatest love story ever written for you. How often have we taken salvation and reduced it to a religious ideal rather than letting it be the thing that resonates inside of us and changes everything we see, everything we think, and everything we experience? Okay, so join me today in saying a big fat not today, devil, when it comes to religious spirits. This is something I'm telling you with one simple acknowledgement that it's in you and a prayer to actually get rid of some things. I'm telling you, you're going to see things differently. For some people that maybe haven't enjoyed church, that maybe every time somebody gets up here and speaks, you're feeling a little bit agitated. You feel like you could have a list of things that, weren't correct or shouldn't have been said like that. I'm telling you, get yourself delivered from that religious spirit so you can have grace to enjoy all of the fullness of God's house. I know there's people in here that have struggled to hang out with other Christians because they annoy them so much. Can I tell you, get rid of that religious spirit. You'll actually begin to start liking God's people. I'm telling you, I know this from personal experience. Don't stay bound with something God never intended you to have. Just like Jesus walked into that temple and got a bit Kung Fu Panda up on that table, how about you flip some sacred cows today, flip up that table and say, I'm not going to just act like a Christian, I'm going to be a Christian in Jesus' name. Let's not settle for religion when God has relationship for us. Let's not eat tofu when there's a delicious steak waiting for you in Jesus' name. Tofu. I'm beginning like a special ministry just praying for people that eat tofu because I am telling you, Lord. All right, so we get it. We need a flip. All right, are you ready for point number two, our call to action? Point number two. Once we have flipped, we can begin to stir. Everyone say stir. Do it in a Sean Connery voice. Stir. That's not Sean Connery at all. Don't judge me, religious spirits, all right? Stir. Engage the Holy Spirit. Engage the Holy Spirit. So the thing about a religious spirit is it gives us a counterfeit connection to Jesus. When we get rid of that, we're actually going to find the realness of relationship with Jesus. And what that actually does, it makes space for you to experience the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate surgeon when it comes to breaking off spiritual bondages that hold us back. You know, simply put, I really think that the Holy Spirit is like the master key to any prison you will ever find yourself in. You know, the Holy Spirit is something that every believer needs. The Holy Spirit is something that somebody who is locked in religion resists. But I'm telling you, once you get free of that, there should be a space that you can invite the Holy Spirit into. We'd already talked about this scripture, but to read it again, if you don't remember any scripture today but this one, that's okay, because this will set you up for a win. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17 says this, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is..." Okay, I wonder if we could flip that. That was good. That was a good freedom. I felt that in my soul. Imagine if we could flip that the other way around. So if where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, it goes without saying that where the Spirit of the Lord is not, there also isn't freedom. So I'm kind of putting it out there. For people that have yet to really engage the Holy Spirit in their life, I wonder if they've actually truly engaged freedom in Christ. When I was younger and I had opportunities to share my testimony, and testimony, just so you know, is kind of when people ask you your God story. So what's your testimony? Like, honestly, I was kind of like a little bit shy because my testimony is not sexy, okay? And I was hanging out with some people that had some pretty good testimonies. You know, the one that was like a drug addict that, you know, encountered God in a crack den while on a high. Like, they were good testimonies. Or I had this one guy that came and spoke at my youth group that went swimming, got stung by 100 jellyfish, died, went to heaven, came back and like lived this awesome life for Jesus. I mean, that's a good testimony. My testimony, as I said, probably didn't have, you know, so many Hollywood moments. For those of you that know, my testimony is pretty simple. I encountered God when I was really young. I grew up in the house of God. It was a healthy soil. I encountered the Holy Spirit at a really young age. I remember speaking in tongues for the first time when I was 6.5 years old. You know, I was surrounded by people that created an environment for me to have knowledge of the Holy Spirit and actually ushered me towards Him. But you know what I've realized, especially even since becoming a mum? My testimony is the best kind of testimony you want. My testimony is the one that I want my kids to have. Because my testimony says I have lived a whole life always having the master key to unlocking any prison I'm in my back pocket. And that is a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Can we bring back that testimony in church? Can we bring back that being sexy again? I'm bringing sexy back to staying in church and being in church for all the days of your life. I know everyone's testimony isn't like mine. You know, some people didn't grow up in church. So this whole even talk about deliverance and the Holy Spirit is a whole new thing. And we've got a whole other bunch of people that did grow up in a church like this, but it was maybe one of those legalistic churches we talked about. So when the Holy Spirit was talked about, it was done so like in a quiet voice, like let's not really talk about it. Or even to the other extreme, maybe told that the Holy Spirit was weird and bad and shouldn't be talked about. We've got people, you know, that have had so many different experiences of what the Holy Spirit means to them. Can I just set some theology straight today, though, about the Holy Spirit? We need Him. He was designed specifically to be a helpmate to us. I said it before, we actually can't experience freedom without Him. So today I want to go against some of those people that have been resisting the very thing that they're crying out for God to help them, and God is sending them the Holy Spirit, but they're sending Him away. It's kind of like that analogy. You've probably seen a cartoon of a man who's drowning at sea and he's calling out to God to help him, and there's a helicopter, there's a lifeboat, there's all these things around him to help, but he can't see them because he had so had one condition to how God would rescue him. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is the master key to unlocking any bondage you find yourself in. I love this scripture, Acts 2 verse 32, because it spells it out for us. It says this, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." When we submit to God, when we make a decision to become a Christian, when we repent, it says right there, we get access to the greatest gift that ever was, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this question. What is the greatest gift you've ever received? Clearly mine was my engagement ring 11 years ago. I lost it 2 years later, but now I'm rocking a Walmart ring. Yeah. What's some of the best gifts you've ever received? Dakota, what's the best gift you've ever received? A new car. That's pretty good. Can anyone outdo a new car? Come on. Does anyone get better than a new car? Anyone? All right. An old car. All right. Controversial. I like it. All right. Cars are pretty good. But can I tell you, the best gift in the world, even if it was like, you know, meet and greet passes to see Justin Bieber at his concert. Like, I'm talking the best of the best gifts. I'm telling you, pale in comparison to the gift we have in the Holy Spirit. You know, it is the best gift of all, but so many people leave it unwrapped. You know, Dakota, you got a new car. How crazy would it be if she got given a new car and she just let it sit in her driveway? And not just for weeks, but for years, even decades. The best gift that she has ever received, there would be no way that she would just leave it and not access it. Yet so many of us do that with the Holy Spirit. It is the best gift that God has ever given us, yet we leave it wrapped up. I mean, some of us have maybe lifted up a little corner and just kind of peeked. Maybe, you know, you do that at Christmas, kind of like felt the box and just kind of checked it out. But I'm telling you, there is too many Christians that have left the gift of the Holy Spirit, you know, underneath their Christmas tree year after year and not open it. And I'm telling you, today is the day that we get some people ripping off those layers and accessing all that the Holy Spirit is. And that's important, just to say it again because it needs to be said. We need the Holy Spirit, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And you're listening this morning. I like it. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19 says this. It's pretty simple. Come on, I'm not a Bible scholar. I can even get this one. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is meant to be engaged, not stifled. Come on, it's time for us to access all that Jesus is. He is Father, He is Son, and He is Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 says this, therefore I remind you to stir, everyone say stir, up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Come on, let's stir today. Do you want some freedom from fear? Yes? Then stir. You want to let go of some feelings of weakness? Then stir. You want to let go of hate and then replace it with love? Then stir. You want to be free from thoughts that confuse and paralyze you? Then we need to stir. There we go. All right, so I think you're getting this. We need to flip. We need to get ourselves delivered from some religious spirits. Then we need to stir. We need to stir up the gift that God put in us through the Holy Spirit. We need to engage the Holy Spirit and not stifle Him anymore. We need to understand that if we can just engage the Holy Spirit, then freedom will be waiting for us when we do. All right, you still with me? All right, point three. Let's bring this home. Roll. Activate resurrection power. Activate resurrection power. Luke 24 verse 1 to 9 says this, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away. Say, the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there, puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Then the man asked, "Why are you looking for the dead? Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead." The third and final point today is we are inviting the ministry team to come and we prepare to pray for people is this. As I was praying, I saw that a lot of what I've said for some people makes sense. They get it. They need to be free of spiritual bondages. They need to stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I really felt, though, this point is actually where we've got a lot of people stuck today. People that have actually been resurrected, have been set free, yet for whatever reason are still living in a tomb like they're dead. You know what was powerful about that scripture? Is Jesus was brought back to life, but he didn't stay in the place where they put him when he died. Jesus rolled back that stone and he walked into the life that his Father had purposed for him. You know, too many people are living like they're dead when actually God has made them alive. After we have got delivered, after we have stirred up the Holy Spirit, it's actually time for us to live like people who have an abundant life, not like people that are living under the curse of sin. Amen. You know, if I'm honest, this is kind of my story. I know that the Lord has delivered me from things. I know it because I felt it. I felt the release. But you know, often my scenery didn't change. Which says that even though I was delivered, even though God rolled back that stone and made a way for me to walk out of that tomb, out of that prison I'd found myself in, I stayed exactly where I was at. That doesn't make sense. When that stone to our prison is rolled away, when we experience the power of God and it sets us free, can I encourage you, begin to walk forward, change your scenery, begin to walk forward into the story that God wrote just for you. I'm telling you, and I love this scripture, let's read it. It says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, lives in me. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. I'm telling you, that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, that caused the stone of his tomb to be rolled back so he could walk into the purposes his Father had for him, is the same power you and I can access today, right here, right now. I'm telling you, get delivered. Get the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And then begin to walk out of the prison that the devil has tried to trap you in. I'm telling you, today there is an anointing for people to experience God's resurrection power unlike they ever have before. Once we hang out with God, our scenery should change. I'm telling you, that might look like somebody who is getting set free today of addiction. Don't walk back and go turn on your computer again. Change your scenery. That looks somebody for people. Maybe they're getting set free today of forgiving their mom, their dad. That looks like maybe picking up the phone and sending that text, sending that phone call. You've got to begin to change the scenery to really access all the freedom God has for you and I. So listen, I'm going to ask for every head bowed, every eye closed. And we're just going to wait on the Holy Spirit. And there's something powerful about when the truth of Jesus and his word is preached. It unlocks something in the atmosphere. God, I can feel you here today, Lord. And Lord, just like we've said so many times today, we stand on your word that says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So God, I can say with confidence today, Lord, that there is freedom waiting in the atmosphere for anyone who would just reach up and get it. For anyone, Father, that would reach into their pocket and pull out the master key to unlock any prison they find themselves in, God. Lord, I thank you that you are causing people that have lived comfortably in a prison, Father, to actually notice, maybe for the first time, that they're actually living in a confined, tight space, when you've actually called them into a wide open space. God, people that have been living in a tomb and now they look up and see that the stone has been rolled away and there's an invitation for them to walk into the fullness of a life that God had authored for them. Lord, I know there's people here today that are right at the beginning of this journey. Lord, that are right at the beginning of accepting you as their Lord, as their Savior. So I just want to pray, Father. I want to pray for anyone in here who has yet to make a decision to become a believer, to become a follower of Christ. If that's you today, if you know that you need to respond to Jesus, if you need to open the gift of salvation, then I'm just going to ask you to do something super brave and lift up your hands. We will always make space for this, because I'm telling you, life without salvation doesn't work. You know, we talk about accessing the Holy Spirit. That can't be done without first getting into relationship with Jesus. Is there anyone like that today that need to make a decision to be a follower of Jesus? Okay. All right. Now I want to pray for people that you know one of those 3 points was for you today, that you need to be delivered of some religious spirits. And maybe it's not just religious spirits. Maybe it's, you know, spirits of perversion, generational curses. Maybe you've had seasons of your life where you've been in witchcraft. If you know there's things that have bound you spiritually, just like Pastor Drew said so powerfully at the beginning of my message, there is some things that can only be dealt with in the Spirit. You can do everything you can do in your own strength, but there is some things that can only be done when encountering God. Just take you back to that picture of my son, Jack, in his car seat, straining, getting exhausted, trying to get out of the straps he's found himself in. who knows, it just requires his mom or his dad coming and pressing a button and all of a sudden he is free. That's going to be some people's experience this morning. You've tried it all in your own strength, straining, trying. I promise I won't do that again. I'll get an accountability partner. I'll do this, I'll do that. Everything in your own strength. But God is saying today, let me come down and take the straps that bind you. Come on, let's go after the spiritual bondages today with the power of God. Let's activate the resurrection power that is in the atmosphere right now. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand on their feet. I'm going to ask the ministry team to come. And I'm going to ask that everybody here that knows that this is a message for them, that this is God not calling them out, but calling them up into a life that's bigger than their current life. I'm going to ask you to come and come meet with one of our ministry team members. They're going to pray a deliverance prayer for you. We're going to believe that the chains that have bound you for too long, that the lies of the devil that have robbed you for too long are going to be broken, and you'll be able to experience the fullness of freedom in Christ Jesus. So come on, if that's you, I invite you to come forward. We're going to have the worship team play, and we're going to declare chains be broken. I love this song. We are no longer a slave. We are no longer a slave to the curse of sin that keeps us bound. So come on, church, let's worship. Let's go after some of these demonic spirits today in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.